So sleepless nights, you've probably all had them. I was just saying to Gabby that I'm actually getting night sleep because the kids are actually sleeping through because we've been dragging them around to carols and stuff and they've been tired, so they've been sleeping through, so we've had some good night's sleep. But sleepless nights, the kind of things that cause us sleepless nights, they're things that are big, aren't they? They're big for us anyway. Things that we have to make a decision about, a decision that seems bigger than what we're capable of making, when there doesn't seem to be a right answer to whatever we're trying to decide on. These situations can be bigger than us, bigger than the experience we've ever had in dealing with a situation. Sleepless nights are caused by anxiety, worry about doing the right thing when an easy choice isn't on our plate. We've all, yes, Paul. No, go for it. I like your... Say it again. Negative prayer. I like it. I'll have to think about that. Worry is negative prayer. Well, if you've experienced negative prayer where you can't get something off your mind, you're in a good spot because that was Joseph's lot in life after he'd found out that Mary was pregnant with a child. He was caught up in something that was much bigger than himself, a situation that he had no experience in dealing with, a situation that everyone would have something to say about, and he was front and center in that controversy. His wife, Mary, had got herself pregnant somehow without his help. And he had somehow had to make sense of that situation. We heard Ben playing out that in a little dramatic drama. Joseph has to ponder on what he's going to do to make the situation right. Matthew Gospel says, because Joseph, Mary's husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So it shows that Joseph is a God-fearing man. He knows God's law. He wants to keep it. He wants to live correctly in God's eyes, and that's a beautiful thing. And he knows the extreme end of this law is, like Ben said in his drama, stoning Mary. And an adulterous woman could be put to death for her actions, along with the man. In John 8, we see that interaction with the teachers of the law who bring an adulterous woman before Jesus, and they've got the stones ready to stone her. They're accusing her of the shame of adultery, and they would put her and potentially the unborn child in her womb to death by stoning her. Doesn't seem very good, but that was part of God's law to keep his people holy. But Jesus said to those accusers, he said, let any one of you who is without sin to be the first to throw a stone at her. So Jesus knew that was the law, that sin was bad and it is punishable by death. And Jesus gave us a new option, but I'll get into that in a second. So Joseph had these options before him, didn't he? Thinking about Mary and her pregnancy out of their intimacy that they would said that they would have the exclusion to one another in marriage, that they would be for one another. So Joseph had to weigh up his options and he thought about the situation and he chose an option that would suit him and potentially Mary, okay, a middle ground. He didn't do the fight. He didn't stone her to death. He didn't just run away. He thought about divorcing Mary quietly. And in his opinion, that was probably a good middle ground. He came up with the best solution to a bad situation. And I'm sure Joseph probably had a few sleepless nights as he thought about this and thought about all the implications. He's a law-abiding guy. He's got charitable kindness. All those things are playing in his mind. How's this going to work out? How do you react to scandalous situations in your lives? How do you take all the information? How do you take what you know God wants for our lives, his holiness, his law? How do you apply it to those scandalous situations? How do you bring that into the mix? How do you let those feelings of hurt, betrayal, disappointment, those feelings of anger, how do you weigh it all up in the middle of something big? And it's common for all of us in this roller coaster of emotions to start weighing it all up. Well, they deserve this. They deserve that. Or maybe I deserve it. You start trying to justify the situation or try and come up with an answer. We come up with ideas of revenge, payback, stoning. Maybe we come up with ideas of just giving up. That is too big for us, ideas of running away. And somewhere in the midst of all that, we normally hatch a plan, don't we? This is how we're going to step forward in life. We try and come up with a plan that will see us through. In the end, a lot of things influence our decisions. In Joseph's case, it seems that God's law had a big part to play, that he knew that Mary shouldn't have been pregnant out of wedlock and that he had to divorce himself from her to make the situation right. And that was okay by God's law. We probably all, knowing God's will for our lives, try and apply God's law into our lives too, knowing, seeing right and wrong and applying that into our situations and using that as the milestick by which we'll come up with a solution. How do we then also let God's grace come into our thinking? We're obedient to a whole lot of set of rules in our lives, aren't we? There's cultural situations. Joseph was stuck in a very embarrassing cultural situation. In our day and age, it's not uncommon for people to get pregnant out of marriage. It's nearly the norm. And so we have a cultural set of rules that play on our hearts and minds now. We have lots of rules that we're obedient to. You know, back in the day, we had cultural rules in the church. If pastor wasn't in an elb and a stole, then man, he wasn't really a pastor. Thankfully, some of those cultural rules have been broken down within this church, at least, anyway. I've got my elb out there. I'll put it on again sometime soon, I'm sure. But we have all these roles playing on us, and we're obedient to them. I don't know if you know it, how much our culture plays into how we respond to situations, what we think is right or wrong, you know. Like driving rules, we have a cultural set of driving rules. If you've ever been to Abu Dhabi, was that where we were? Dubai, Abu Dhabi. Man, they've got road rules, but they don't seem to apply. It's just whoever's first and fastest seems to have right of way. They have a cultural set of rules. We too, we're obedient to so many rules, playing on our minds, setting our decisions, how we're going to respond to situations. It's incredible. In all these things, though, and for every cultural, people who have sleepless nights generally come up with a plan that most of all serves number one. The best plan that we come up really usually suits ourselves. How are we going to get out of this situation in the best possible way? How can we save face? How can we come out of this in the best light? When we're facing I'm glad it wasn't Christmas Eve. We serve ourselves first when we hatch plans and come up with situations. You can hear me in stereo, hopefully. How's that? It's working. Good. So Joseph, when we look at Joseph, he came up with a plan that suited him best. He was thinking about Mary. He contemplated. He didn't want Mary to be stoned. He was going to do it quietly to save her some face, but really, Joseph was going to divorce her so that he could get on with his life and be divorced of the whole situation. His plan wasn't really all that caring for Mary or that child growing in her tummy. He didn't care about their future and what that meant for them. He was just going to divorce himself from the whole situation so that he could get on with life. And I think that's pretty natural for all of us. We come up with the best situation that suits us. The wonderful thing for Joseph was that God intervened. God spoke into his situation through a dream. An angel appeared to him and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." It'd be nice if we all had angels appearing to us and telling, "It's okay." But I think we can learn something from Joseph. Number one, taking time to think about the situation, taking time out to sleep on it. Often in the face of a situation, we come up with rash decisions, don't we? And sometimes we need to, but generally we can pull ourselves back from a situation, think about it. In that space of thinking about it, God was able to come into a quiet time in Joseph's life and speak with clarity. For your lives, think about it. If something blows up in your face, it's probably time to step back from it. Don't act out in anger. We see that happening in the Bible when people act in the anger in the face of a situation. The devil uses it and can cause terrible things to happen. So taking time out to think over it, to let God speak into the situation and let his word be part of the mix. God's word and promise get incorporated into our thinking when we let him into that space. His bigger picture for our lives gets involved in the mix and Jesus gets brought into the picture. We also let God's word work in our thinking when we're involved in a scandal, don't we? But God's word has two sides to it. God's law, hopefully we know God's law for our lives. The Ten Commandments outlines a whole lot of things very clearly. Adultery is one of them. Murder, stealing, all these things are pretty clear cut. So in our mind we can use God's law to discern a situation if it's right or wrong. And yet, as we think about discerning what God's law is, what's right or wrong, we probably should first apply it to ourselves. As we think about a situation, we should think about how we match up to God's law, how perfect we are in keeping God's law, how good we are in God's eyes when matched up against his holiness and his expectations for our lives. Because the sad thing is, we all have fallen short of God's glory, the holy expectations on our lives. And realistically, God should be the one divorcing himself from us. We have been unfaithful to him. We have not acted in the way that he created us to be. And so he should really chop himself off from us. And yet this is where the good news, the other side of God's word comes into play. God, knowing our unfaithfulness, sent his only son into this world to be born of a virgin, to live a life where he brought God's love and grace to bear into this world, where he would suffer and be obedient to death, even death on a cross for us. God sent his son into this world to save us from our unfaithfulness, to save us from our sin. The only reason why we can have a relationship with God is because he, in his grace and love, has done all the work to mend that relationship. And so we're allowed to apply God's grace into our thinking in the midst of scandal, into the midst of sleepless nights. How do we apply God's grace? It's easy to see God's law, right and wrong, but applying God's grace is so much harder, I can tell you. For Joseph, it was the Spirit of God's grace that spoke into his situation, really. Without God speaking his love into Joseph's life, he wouldn't have taken Mary as his wife. He wouldn't have cared for that child growing in her. Joseph wouldn't have been able to be a father figure to the Son of God. Without God's grace speaking into his dream and saying, "It's okay, Joseph, I'm in this situation, I'm going to use you, and it's okay." Without God's grace speaking into that, Joseph would not have been part of God's salvation plan. God would not have been able to use him to be the father of his son. What an amazing gift Joseph had as he stepped out in love and grace to be Mary's husband, to be the pseudo-father of Jesus and to offer that love and protection as only a father can. God used him when he stepped out in grace and love in obedience to God's word over his life. And so too with us. When we're faced with a scandal, how can we apply God's grace so that his salvation plan can come alive through us? How many of us deserve to be treated by the law, to be kicked out, to be rejected by God, and yet his love and grace continue to speak into our lives and gives us hope and meaning? So too with your lives of those around you, as you bring God's grace alive in your dealings with others, when you're unjustly treated, when you're caught up in the middle of a scandal, when things aren't right, when you want to divorce yourself from that situation, cut your losses, say, "No, I want nothing to do with that." Maybe God's got a new plan for you. Maybe he's going to birth a new hope through you as you apply God's grace to that situation, as you can bear Jesus Christ into the world, as we heard last week. Is there someone in your life that you've divorced yourself from because of a scandalous situation, because of injustice, hurt, or betrayal? What would it look like if you let God's grace infiltrate that situation and see how God could rework it to bring salvation and grace come to bear? For Joseph, as he trusted God's word over his life, that the truth was in the situation, salvation came into this world. And so too that is true for your lives. As you're obedient to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he will use you in the midst of not easy situations, but horrible situations, to bring his son's grace and love to bear on this world. For in the midst of darkness, in the midst of scandal, in the tangle of confusion, God is there. He's always dreaming up a new future, something new, a journey of faith, and he wants to use each of you like he used Joseph. So I pray that you can follow Joseph's example by taking time to think over the situation, to not act rashly, that you can let God's message of grace and hope that you have in Christ born in a stable for you, God with you. I pray that you can let Christ in you reshape how you think about your lives, how you will respond to injustice and scandal and hurt. And I pray that you can let the knowledge that God is with you. Do not fear, for he is with you in this life to use you to the glory of his name. Our Lord Jesus Christ is so much bigger than any scandalous situation, bigger than any brokenness, bigger than any situation that we'll face in this life. How will you be obedient to him? And I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding guide your hearts and minds into Christ Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Amen.